We continue our study in Mark 14, verses 4 through 9. It is a great story of love, of excessive love, of a reckless love, of an extreme love, of an unreasonable love. We see what the men, what the disciples of Christ were thinking and saying in our text. Look at verses 4 and 5 of Mark 14. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. In the text, Jesus comes in the following verses, verses 6 to 9, to Mary's defense. As Jesus deals with Mary, he makes several statements that affirm the truth, that he willingly received her gift of this unrestrained, unreasonable love. These statements make it clear that Jesus saw her sacrifice for what it was, a gift of extravagant love. Let's look at these statements. Mark 14, 6. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. I think it's clear from the statement that the Lord's heart is grieved by the attitude of his men. Mary has given him extravagant love, and they've given him nothing. She gave him the best that she had, and they are attacking her for simply loving Jesus. They look at her gift, and they call it a waste. Jesus looks at what she did and says that she's done a good work. That word good means beautiful. The disciples, they say it's a waste, and Jesus says it is beautiful. What a difference. What Mary did was extravagant, and it bothered the greedy disciples, but it blessed the Lord Jesus Christ. He took Mary's common act of anointing his head and washing his feet and elevated it into a realm of spiritual work. The Bible is clear about works, about good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And here was Mary walking in them, and the disciples are criticizing them, criticizing her. James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It was Mary showing her works. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And here was Mary doing that. She's proclaiming the praises of him. She's praising him by her act of worship. The question is, do you know how to take a common act and elevate it to an act of spiritual worship? All you do is to do it solely for the Lord. That's all you have to do to make something a spiritual act. When you do even the smallest thing for his glory, it becomes an act of love and of worship. The smallest thing. Did you forget Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42? He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Verse 42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. You take a common act and you elevate it into an act of worship when that thing is solely for the Lord. It may be a monetary gift, a song of praise, a humble testimony, a loud shout, a lifted hand, a kind word, a cup of cold water, or anything else you want to name. If it's given for His glory and in His name, it becomes an act of worship for His glory. It all comes down to who you do things for. If you do them for yourself, you have your reward. If you do them for others only, you have your reward. If you do them for the glory of God, then it's an act of extravagant love and worship. Mark 14, verse 7. Excuse me a moment, I lost my place. Mark 14, 7. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you did not always have. Jesus is not saying that we should not help the poor. We should help them, and we should do our best to meet the needs of those around us. Jesus is simply saying that Mary seized the moment. The poor would always be there, but she knew that Jesus was going to the cross to die for sin and sinners. She took advantage of the opportunity she was afforded, and she gave Him extravagant love and worship. And so it is with us. These lives we live are fleeting at best. We must learn to seize those moments that are given us to serve the Lord. When you're in that good spiritual service and the Lord is moving in power and glory, don't waste the moment. Don't waste the moment. Give Him unreasonable love, crazy love, excessive love. When the moment presents itself to witness, to give, to serve, don't waste the moment. Give Him the extravagant love that He is due. When you have the means and the opportunity to give to the Lord's work, don't waste the opportunity. Invest in the work of the Lord. And give Him worship and praise and honor. The older I get, the more I realize how soon our lives will be over. And the Bible challenges us to seize the moment. We're to be redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, making most of the time that God has given us. That's why we can't turn down an opportunity to preach the word. That's why we should be faithful in the house of God. Why we should be active in outreach ministries. That's why we need to be at prayer meetings. We need to support the youth. We need to back the church with our presence, our prayers, our time, and our treasure. For the time will come when we will not have the opportunities that we have today. We must seize the moment. Look at Mark 14, verse 8. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. She has done what she could. I mean, how simple is that? But we make it difficult. Well, you know, I'm just trying to find out what the Lord's will is. She done what she could. There was a lot that Mary could not do. She could not prepare him a meal. There wasn't time. She could not make him a garment. There wasn't time. She could not take his place in Gethsemane. She could not take away the shame, the rejection, the hatred of any of the other things that Jesus experienced. There was a lot that she could not do, but there was one thing that she could do. And there's at least one thing every one of us can do. She had a flask of expensive anointing oil. She was saving it for herself, but she chose in that moment to take what she did have and use it for the glory of God. That's a powerful lesson for the saints of God. We cannot do everything, but we must learn to take what we have and do what we can with it. You can't evangelize the whole world, but you can tell one person at a time about Jesus Christ. You can't feed every starving person in the world, but you can certainly feed some. You can't help everybody, but you can help some. You cannot do it all. But you can take what you have and use it for the glory of God. I can't preach everywhere, but I can walk through the open doors that God gives me. I can't give everything the church needs, but I can give my time and my offerings for the Lord to use it in the local body. That is all that God asks of us, to do what you can. You can't do it all. But there are some things you can do. You can pray, you can witness, you can work, you can give, you can be faithful, you can read your Bible, you can support the church, help your neighbor, teach others, disciple others. You can do what you can. It may not always be what you want to do, but we're called to do what we can. And by the way, you won't be able to do the things you do now forever, but you can teach others how to do it so they can step in when you can't, when you're gone. But to disciple people, go into all the world and make disciples. One of these days, I'm going to die. I'm going to preach my last sermon, pray my last prayer, and render my last service to Jesus and His church. And when that day comes, I want Him to be able to say to me, He did what He could. Bill did what he could. Isn't that what you want to do? Are you doing all that you can? Are you doing what you can? Why am I doing this message? I'm doing what I can. Hopefully somebody will be blessed by this. Mark 14, verse 8. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Jesus had been telling his disciples that he was going to go to the cross to die for sin. They never did believe him. They doubted him until after he was dead and risen again. Mary, on the other hand, believed the Lord. She knew where he was headed, and she was walking by faith, and she knew that she would not be there when they placed his body in the grave. She was serving him by faith, trusting that everything he said was true. There's another lesson we can learn from Mary's over-the-top love gift. She gave him love, worship, service, and sacrifice. Why? Because she was walking with him by faith. That is what he wants from us. He simply wants us to love him, to trust him, and to believe him. The just shall live by faith. He doesn't want us to have all the answers. He just wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him with our needs. He wants us to trust him with our service to him. He wants us to take him at his word and trust him to do what is right. And Mark 14:9, I would pray that this would be true of all of us that hear this message, that we would be a memorial of love. Look at Mark 14:9. A memorial of love. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. This is an amazing statement. The disciples looked at what Mary did and they cried, waste. Jesus looked at it and he said, beautiful. Beautiful. God, have Christ say that of us, of our service. Beautiful. Jesus said that this gift of her love would be retold everywhere the gospel would be preached. For 2,000 years, that statement has proven true. For 2,000 years, people have been motivated to give the way Mary gave, to give a gift as Mary gave. For 2,000 years, people have been blessed, challenged, and stirred by what this one woman did. A memorial of love, of over-the-top love, of fantastic, excessive, lavish, rich, crazy, extreme, unreasonable, unrestrained love. Love. And that's what the Lord wants from us. That we would be a memorial. Even as the people that have been memorialized for thousands of years. The memorialized ones. The widow that gave the two mites. The one that gave the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The one that testified. The tenth leper. The demoniac. The man who was born blind. The man who laid at the pool of Bethesda. The dying thief. The Roman centurion. The gratitude of the woman with the issue of blood. Will we be memorialized? Will be a memorial of love? Will we be the memorial of love? Let me give you a quick teaching from the Old Testament. In the tabernacle, there were certain utensils called snuff dishes or snuff boxes. I'm not referring to the snuff that people use today. Snuff dishes. These boxes were used to store the wicks that had burned out in the tabernacle. When a wick burned out, it was not thrown away. Now you would think, man, that's a pretty irrelevant thing, a wick. When a wick burned out, it was not thrown away. It was saved in the snuff dishes. Those wicks burned in the tabernacle and gave off light to those within. They represented service to God. Do you get that picture? Do you get that illustration? Something as insignificant as a wick, yet God saved them. God saved them after they burnt out and they were of no use to men and women any longer. They had burned in the tabernacle and given off light to those that were within the tabernacle. They were service to God. They were holy wicks. They were set apart, just like each and every one of us. Was set apart for the Lord to work for his glory, not for our salvation. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. And now we live lives of gratitude and we show extravagant love, over the top, unrestrained, unreasonable, crazy, extreme, reckless, excessive love. Those wicks teach us that everything that represents true service to God will never be forgotten. Those things are noted by him and they possess lasting eternal value. There'll come a day when he will reward his servants for their servants of extravagant worship for his glory. For whoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Over the top love. Excessive, unreasonable, unrestrained love. Mary did what she could, and she was rewarded accordingly. The question we all must ask ourselves today, what have we done? Have we done what we could? Are we going to do what we can? Are we giving our Lord Jesus Christ demonstrations of this kind of over-the-top love and worship? Has he spoken to you as you've listened to these couple of messages about this over-the-top love? I know he's spoken to me about it. I want to give him all the glory, the worship, and the praise that he's due. When I think of all that he's done for me, I know he's worthy of that and so much more. To him who has been forgiven much, loves much. We're to love much, brothers and sisters, because we've been forgiven much. All that he's done for us, he's worthy of all our all, that we would do what we could. The challenge today is to look how we're serving him and loving him. Is there room for improvement? Of course. There always is. Has he spoken to you on any level? Maybe you listen to this message and this is just crazy to you. Could it be because you're not saved? Come to Christ and be saved. Repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will get to know this one that showed his extravagant love, his over-the-top love, his love that no one has ever shown. Because he loved even those that hated him. Let me close by looking at Romans 5. Romans 5. Beginning at Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 5. I'll begin there in closing. And this is why we love and serve, because this is what Christ has done for us. It's all about Christ. Romans 5, beginning at verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. See? You have this love now for others because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. For when we were still without strength, notice, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You were without strength, you were ungodly, and Christ died for you. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You talk about over the top, unreasonable, unrestrained, excessive love, reckless love. God demonstrated his love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We were without strength, ungodly sinners, and Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. See, the one that's been saved by the blood. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He saved you from wrath. You hear people say, oh, have you been saved, brother? And they have no idea what they've been saved from. We've been saved from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ. Notice once again, for when we were enemies, without strength, ungodly, sinners who were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now that is fantastic, excessive, lavish, reckless, crazy, extreme, unreasonable, unrestrained love that God the Father and Jesus Christ has shown us. And may we be in the business of showing a little bit of that kind of love to those around us, family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and yes, even enemies. But that's what Christ did. He showed his love while we were still his enemies. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And now may that love pour out of our hearts into others' lives as we come day to day to a greater realization of the kind of love that we have been loved with.